Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Walking in His Word. Give you the double welcome today. You got the normal intro, now a second welcome.
I love it.
It's like second breakfast.
Second breakfast.
Well, you know, like second intro. Ever had a second something like that?
Yeah.
Last week at church.
Yeah.
At our men's breakout.
Yeah.
They fed us Coney dogs.
You want to know a secret about last week on Wednesday?
What?
So I was driving a bus, you know, to pick up students and drop them off. And after service was over, we had drove around to the other side of the church where they were feeding, that I had fed the med Coney dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my brother while we were waiting for the kids to come out of their classroom, we didn't have any kids on the bus yet. And I handed him my keys and I said, hey, go into the kitchen and see if there's any Coney dogs left over because I want one. There was no Coney dogs left over.
Yeah, we scarfed them down. But I said all that to say this is last week, I came home from work, my wife fed me dinner, and then I came home to came to church, and I had two Coney dogs, a bag of chips, a brownie, a couple waters. Oh, second dinner.
Second dinner.
And I want to let everybody know, it's men's conference week.
It is men's conference week. Come on.
So if we're real manly in our intros and outros this week.
There's a reason.
Yeah. It's men's conference week this Friday. Doors open at 6:00 right here at Cornerstone Church. Hundreds of men are cramming into our church. Men everywhere.
Yeah.
Worshiping together, growing together, rubbing shoulders, praying for one another. There's something so powerful when hundreds of men lift up their voice and worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sound of victory.
It absolutely is. It's awesome.
So it's conference week. We're all excited. Pastor Tim's got a great message this week. I know we got a lot to say about it. Let's just hop into the message and we'll be back in just a minute.
Amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Moving my way through the seven letters to the seven churches, and trust that the Lord has a great word for us as a church, for us as a family, for us as individuals. It's the church at Pergamos, Satan's throne. Satan's throne. Are you living near Satan's throne? That's interesting, isn't it? And that's what the Lord told this particular church. You're right where Satan dwells. Well, think about it. If the enemy is the god of this world and he's active and involved, which he is, all of us in some way live right near the headquarters of Satan's throne. He's very active, isn't he? Anyway, I don't know if you realize this, but yesterday I got my hair cut. And I got it on Friday, which is very important to a man like me. I remember going in, my dad would get his hair cut, and he'd always tell the barber, I want you to lower my ears. That's what he'd always say, the same joke over and over again. And so I've never said that joke to a barber, but I remember him telling the barber that joke. But I remember as a kid going and getting my hair cut. My dad was a military guy, and so he always wants the buzz cut with just a little on top, you know. And I wanted to grow out my hair like Bobby Sherman. I don't know if you remember Bobby Sherman. Grow my hair out like Bobby Sherman. But he'd always go and tell the barber exactly how to cut my hair, and I literally would cry as they would cut my hair because they're just buzzing it off. Then afterwards, remember taking my little strands and just pulling on it, trying to make it grow. But you know, you can't make your hair grow. It just takes time, doesn't it? It just takes time. So I get in there. I got this brand new guy. He's going to be cutting my hair. He's never cut my hair before, never seen me before. And I sit down and kind of wonder what his angle is. And one of the first things he says to me is, man, you got a good head of hair. Then I thought, this guy's angling for a tip. Sanctity before tip. And so he got done cutting the hair, and you hold up that mirror, you know, and you can see the back of your head and make sure everything's good. And I got this bald spot in the back. So I asked him, I said, can you do anything about the bald spot? He says, that's not a bald spot. That's a solar panel. So I was going to give him a tip. He lost his tip. Anyway, looking at Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, you know, we're all worried about climate change, or at least some of us are, or maybe hardly any of us are. I'm not really sure. I haven't polled the church yet. But just think about it. Clean, renewable energy. Men, we got a lot of solar panels in the house of the Lord today. I was checking it out since he told me that was a solar panel. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, Satan's throne. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So in this passage of Scripture, Pergamos definitely is what I would call the compromising church. You know, we looked last week at the church at Ephesus, and they hated the Nicolaitans, the teachings or the works of the Nicolaitans. And this particular church is tolerating the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans was a sect that really turned the grace of God into an occasion to the flesh, sexual immorality, things of that nature. And this church is tolerating it. And so he has stronger words towards the church at Pergamos than he did to the church at Ephesus. But, you know, I believe that this church was a real, specific, literal church during the time that this letter was given to it. But I also believe that the church of Pergamos, the characteristics of it, the spirit of it, the ways of this particular church is in the earth today. There's churches, they might not be called Pergamos, they might be called the First Baptist Church of, I was going to say Pontiac, but if there's a First Baptist Church of Pontiac, I'm not signaling you out. This just came to my heart, all right? Don't know anything about that church. So scratch that. It could be any type of church, whatever the name is, in the community. It could be Cornerstone Church. We could have the characteristics of this particular church, the Church at Pergamos, and I trust that we don't. I don't want to be known as the compromising church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known by that. Where can I find a compromising church? Well, Cornerstone Church, I think that's the church you're looking for. I do not want to be known as that. Pergamos was a city wholly given over to idolatry during the time that this letter was written. It had temples dedicated to the worship of Greek and Roman gods. It had three temples dedicated to the Roman emperor, or to the worship of the Roman emperor. The Lord is speaking. He says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Satan has his operations all over the world, but he's got his throne right there in Pergamos. That's quite an amazing statement. Make no mistake, his throne is not in hell. It's in the world. Think about it. His throne is in the world. This is the field of his operation. Hell is the place of his incarceration. This is the place of his operation. His power was unleashed from this city, and some in the Pergamos church had fallen victim to Satan and become thoroughly engulfed and meshed and even married to the world. Frankly, not persecution, but this kind of compromise is the fastest way to destroy the church's life and testimony. Satan's throne, Satan's headquarters, Satan's operation. It's right here in the world. And what is kind of interesting is God planted this church in Pergamos, right next to what the Bible calls Satan's throne. I mean, what's going on? Well, I got to thinking about that. Satan is the god of this world. This is the place of his operation. Chances are God planted Cornerstone right in the midst of satanic opposition, right in the midst of maybe a military outpost of his. He is around us. He is among us. He's at work all around us.
Are you living near Satan's throne?
Ooh, that's an intense question.
It's an intense question. It's an intense title for a message. It's kind of a wake-up call, Pastor Luke. It is a... It's just a challenge to make you realize that, man, yes, I am living near Satan's throne. Hmm. Satan is at work. I think sometimes, especially as church people, we like to pretend sometimes that Satan's not real, that or that he's out there somewhere, but he's not really affecting my life too much. We like to focus on what God is doing, not focus on the enemy. But guys, we have a very real enemy. His name is Satan, and his main goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we are living near his throne.
He's really good at what he does.
He's really good at it. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yep. He'll kill you, and you won't even realize it.
It's dangerous.
Because he does it through deception. Mm-hmm. He presents himself as, the Bible actually says that he'll present himself even as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So as you think, oh, this is a pleasant experience. This is a pleasant endeavor.
Yeah.
At first.
Right.
And he'll lure you in and he'll numb you. Yep. He'll dull your senses to the point where all of a sudden you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And he just might have you. And so his endeavor is to steal, kill, and destroy. What are we supposed to do as Christians now? Are we just supposed to run away and hide?
No.
No way. Pastor Tim's going to talk about this a lot this week. But
oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, Pastor Aaron. What are we supposed to do? We are living near Satan's throne. No doubt about it. We're not supposed to escape it. So, what do we do?
Yeah. I'm going to just hit you real quick. Couple Bible verses. We're supposed to be bold as lions. We're supposed to fight the good fight. We're supposed to stand firm, and we're supposed to hold fast.
We're supposed to put on the full armor of God. To
put on that full armor of God.
Nobody puts on armor who isn't expecting to go into a fight.
That's right. Never back down. Man, I got a lot of thoughts to say on this. We're kind of running out of time mm-hmm. for today. So you know what? I'll hold on to them. I'll get into them a little bit tomorrow morning. But right now, guys, we already mentioned it. It's men's conference week here at Cornerstone.
Let's go. Oh, 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 oh.
And we got something special for the men. Check this out. Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.